Hi, Wanderlusters. And in this episode, I'm speaking to the owner and sommelier of Vina Roma, Maurizio DiFranco. Welcome to the Wanderlust podcast. My name's Janine, and my real passion is travel, and my bucket list is to visit every wine region in the world. In this series, we're heading off from Australia and heading to Bella Italia. I'm speaking to wine experts living in Italy, and we'll share my travel tips of visiting wine regions. So pour yourself a glass, and let's go exploring. Most of us land in either Milan or Rome. And when I landed in Rome, I was keen to check out what wine experiences were there. I stumbled across Vina Roma Wine Studio and Social Club on Instagram. On Thursday nights, they have an open night we can go along and enjoy tastings by boutique wineries from across the country. This sounded wonderful to me. It was added immediately to my itinerary. And it was as good as it sounded. When I was there was a small protest blocking the way that Google Maps was directing me. So we arrived a little bit later than anticipated, but we had a wonderful time. And as you'll hear, if you do arrive earlier, there's a special tour that you can do, which is on my list for next time. Maurizio DiFranco is the owner of Vina Roma. They also offer education classes and tours to wineries just outside of Rome, which is an area often overlooked by tourists. There's some great stuff in here to add to your Rome itinerary. Welcome, Maurizio DiFranco. Welcome. Thank you very much for your time to speak with me. When I came across, I think on social media about Vina Roma, I sounded like a fantastic concept.
So I came to Italy in 2009 after I graduated from university, basically to study wine and do my sommelier training. And never left. I'm originally from the States, from Italian parents, from Arizona, Phoenix area.
And were you planning to just do your training and go home?
Yeah, that was the original idea. My parents had a restaurant in Phoenix, so I grew up around that. And so I think the expectation was to bring the knowledge back, and it never happened. I got married, and we have a beautiful three-year-old child now, so we're pretty well-rooted here.
How long have you had Vina Roma for?
So I've been working at Vina Roma since 2011, after I finished my sommelier education. It was founded by a German woman by the name of Vande Lehmer. So I worked under her for a number of years, and then I took the reins in 2021.
That's an interesting time to have taken over the
reins. It was an interesting time for sure. We had to pivot. You know, it was something that was only focused on tourists at the time, and with no tourists around, we had to kind of change the focus a bit. So that's when we started offering more to locals.
So the original concept was wine education classes for tourists?
Yeah, exactly. It was basically guided tastings where we would take people through, you know, how to taste wines, how to pair with food, various different grape types and winemaking areas of the country. And that was, focused mostly on tourists. It was always in English.
And now what's your split between tourists and locals?
Still, thankfully, now that tourism has come back, it's still the majority of our business. But I'm happy to say we have a lot of locals who are coming in as well. Now we're offering more like extended courses, you know, not a proper sommelier course, but taking our sommelier course and compressing it down to a multi-week class, which has been very successful, and special events with producers and, you know, others in the wine world. And so, you know, we have a really fun mix of locals and tourists that come in. In fact, you know, when you joined us for the Cantina Aperta,
our
weekly event that we do on Thursdays, it's always a really fun mix of, you know, different languages being spoken. We have one big social table, so people get to know one another. It's really a fun cultural exchange in addition to wine tasting.
Yeah, I love that you got to try boutique wines. I think it's hard to know because Italy has so many wine varieties and you don't know, like, you just don't know what you don't know. And so going to somewhere like how you had the open night was fantastic to know that you're trying quality small producers and learn a little bit more and try some different grape varieties that you might not know about from different regions you might not be familiar with. So I guess you're trying to teach that to both tourists and to the locals.
Yeah, to be honest, I was a little worried at first, being an American, teaching Italian wines to Italians, I thought maybe they would not take to it. But to be honest, the unfortunate, I guess, is the case that the wine IQ here in Italy is not maybe what you might expect, considering all of the different styles of wines that are produced here. Like you said, you don't know what you don't know. So people grow up drinking what they're used to, but because Italy is the only country in the world that has grapes growing in every region of the country, there's so much variety of grapes, yeah, but also different styles. And so they're really, I guess, taken to learning more about that, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask that if the average Italian has a good grasp of the wines, because I think you need to have a little bit of knowledge to read the labels and
Right. Yeah, I mean, thankfully, here at least, when we're comparing with, New World wine, say in Australia or in California or wherever else, the focus definitely is much more on, the grape variety, and there are often ones that you're familiar with. Whereas here, yeah, it is so much more focused on Appalachian, right? The wine growing area. That's a concept at least, you grow up learning about here in Italy. But still, every week I talk to someone who doesn't know the difference between, say, like a Vino Nobile di Montepulciano and a Montepulciano di Abruzzo, which are two very distinct wines with, unfortunately, similar sounding names. So there's a lot to learn. And, people know a little bit maybe about their local region or the famous areas in Tuscany and Piedmont. But like I said, all 20 regions are making wine. So there's a lot of fun stuff to try from all over. But our focus is just on the more natural or low intervention winemaking, which, of course, is just a return to the way wines used to be made historically, and I found some of the best versions of wine you can find in Italy. And they don't have to be super weird or wild or funky, which is a term that gets thrown around a lot, I
Yes.
know, with these kind of wines, but they can be just as elegant and well made as the more conventional styles, just with fewer additives, fewer
Yeah.
done to it. Yeah.
Awesome. And so how many different types of wines do you guys feature?
Our tastings change every time, also, so I'm not getting bored, so I'm drinking new things. But let's say that, I'm only serving wines that I personally like to drink. Our cellar, which we're lucky to have, dates back to the inter-Roman era. There are several thousand bottles down there, let's just say that. So there's no shortage to choose from. And the goal is always to show different styles. So maybe pick some from the north, some from central Italy, some from the south, whites, reds, rosés, sparkling wines, dessert wines, even. In fact, we do another type of tasting, which we call a wine and cheese dinner. So the goal there is to really see what happens, to actually show how the pairing process works, right? And taste wines on their own, and then bring out a particular type of food to go with that individual wine. And so with that, we'll do bubbles, we'll do a white, we'll do an orange wine, which are always fun to show, a red, and then yeah, we'll end with a sweet wine.
And the cellars underneath the where the communal area was, or
Exactly.
out
So
the
we have our
back, or
tasting room above, which is at the street level, which the street now where we are is just dates back to the Middle Ages. So just a little bit of history already there in the Monti neighborhood of Rome, which is a historic first neighborhood of Rome. And then below our feet is the cellar, which, yeah, dates back to around the second or third century AD. We're lucky enough to have that connected to our space, where we can run down and grab bottles when we need them.
awesome. And so, yeah, can you tell us a bit about Monty? And if people visit Rome, have you got any tips for where to go for dinner? Because I did not have the greatest dinner experience.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, so I mean, first off, yeah, it is a very tourist-driven city. So no matter where you go, you are going to run into tourists. Even in the more residential neighborhoods, the best restaurants, people will find out about them or been suggested to them, and so you'll always run into some, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it was fine.
But yeah, you definitely have to do your research, I think, coming in when it comes to restaurants, because there are so many places that, yes, just cater to tourists. And, because they're not coming ever, and never coming back, you can serve them maybe not the best quality food and charge a little bit extra for the pleasure too, unfortunately. But if you do a little bit of research, you can find, even in the more tourist-driven places, some great local spots. So in Monti in particular, which is a neighborhood near ancient Rome, essentially just up the road from the Colosseum and the Roman Forum, And as I said, is the very first neighborhood of Rome, is where Julius Caesar was born and raised,
Wow.
to give you an idea of some of the history there. For centuries was then like the red light district city, so kind of a but then over time it became, now it's a very fashionable, trendy area where you have tourists coming in, of course, from ancient Rome, but also a lot of locals and expats that live in that area too. So a lot of cool boutique shops and wine bars and restaurants. So for example, there's one that I always recommend to guests when they come in to us, if they're looking for somewhere to eat afterwards, called La Barrique, which is a wine bar slash restaurant in the Monti area. And they have a small menu that's always changing, homemade pastas, great fish, meat dishes, and the wine selection is out of this world. All
Excellent.
natural list, and really good wines by the glass.
Well, perfect. If you close at 8 p.m. on a Thursday, then there's dinner sorted.
There you go. You go straight over there, and they'll take good care of you, I'm sure. And you always have to end with a gelato, don't forget. And we have a fantastic gelateria in the neighborhood called Fata Morgana, which is also worth checking out before the night is through.
Excellent. So, what's your favorite Italian go-to wine on a warm day?
Right. Well, I'm a big fan of sparkling wines, especially naturally sparkling Petnat wines, which have become really, really popular in Italy. And those are always nice and low alcohol, refreshing, cool, cleansing. So those are always good. And especially the ones made nearby. I mean, Lazio, the region where Rome is full of fantastic winemakers. I mean, nearby Rome, we have, the Frascati style. And then up north toward the border of Tuscany, near the Bolsena Lake, which is a volcanic lake up there, you have, Andrea Pinti, La Villana, American winemaker Joy Cole, that came out to start making wines up there. Fellow Aussie, actually, as
Oh,
well,
really?
Trish Nelson, yeah, making wines at Gazzetta Winery, which are fantastic. And then probably my favorites, to be honest, are heading down towards the Campania border, an area called Chocerio, which is a beautiful national park down there. The producers that are doing fantastic things, including some really interesting reds, Cesanese grape, which is a grape that only grows here in Lazio. And the one I love, Carlo Noro, who has been doing biodynamic farming for the last 30 some odd years,
Wow.
and now actually makes the preparations, the biodynamic preparations, for winemakers all around central Italy as well.
I think that Lazio region is quite underrated. I don't think most people would realize that there's a lot of wine being grown right near Rome.
No, everyone goes, to Tuscany immediately, and justifiably fantastic wines there, or even down in Campania. You have famous Fiano and Falanghina, Greco di Tufo, Aglianico, and those beautiful wines there. But yeah, Lazio is no slouch either. I mean, there's some really, really incredible wines coming out from here, and maybe because of lack of name recognition or just smaller numbers, they don't get exported as much, but are definitely worth seeking out. For sure. Those are some of my favorite wines of Italy.
Is that a difficult trip to do from Rome to visit some of those, or is that something that you guys offer?
That's something we've actually put together in the past, yeah, where we will get together a group of people and all head out. We did one weekend down in that Chocheria area. We visited some of these winemakers I mentioned, Fra I Monti, DSB. I mean, there's some fantastic winemakers that you might not have ever heard of, but doing some really, really interesting things. That's more of a kind of weekend trip. It's an hour and a half, 2 hours from Rome,
Yeah.
but the areas near Rome, up in the hilltop towns, what we call the Castelli Romani, where Frascati, to give an example, is from, that's 30, 40 minutes away, so very
Wow.
easy to do as a day trip. So I'll take guests out there just for a morning trip and then come back at around lunchtime.
Fantastic. So people should get in
Yeah.
touch.
Definitely, I definitely recommend it.
Told us about the Lazio region. Is there another hidden gem wine region that you think people should go out and explore?
Gosh,
Or,
so many.
yeah.
I'm a big fan of Southern Italian wines, which maybe don't get the credit that they deserve. Also, because historically it was maybe more, I don't want to say low quality, but definitely more about, local farmers that are making wines for friends and neighbors. So it wasn't ever, reaching the levels of, say, Barolo, Brunello, and those famous names. But if you go down to Sicily, for example, Mount Etna has some of the most incredible wines you'll taste in Italy, both white and red. and go there before people start finding out about that area,
Oh,
which I think
I
already
think White Lotus is
started
spelled
to.
Sicily.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Fantastic wines there, and Puglia, the heel of the boots, Calabria, the toe of the boots, some fantastic winemaking happening there. Especially, what's fun about these areas, because they're not as famous, maybe land is a little bit more affordable, and so you get a lot more younger winemakers starting up, buying up some land. Maybe they were doing another career entirely and then switched over to start making some wine, and so you find some more experimentation. It's less staid, less traditional in a lot of ways, but a lot of fun stuff happening down in the south.
Oh, that sounds awesome. You have touched on about the sparkling, about the
Franciacorta, yeah.
I hadn't heard of that before I went to Italy. Can you tell us a bit about that and how
Yeah, I
it's
mean,
different from, I mean, everyone has heard of Prosecco, for example.
yeah, Prosecco can be a very good wine. Of course, there are various quality levels and price points when it comes to Prosecco, making all different styles. But Franciacorta would arguably be that step up. It's always made in, the traditional method, the champagne method, even if we're not allowed to use that term over here. The French could be sticklers about that. But yeah, the traditional method of sparkling wine making, where the second fermentation is happening in the bottle. And in fact, they call it a lot of times Italy's answer to champagne. Made from that same method with similar grapes, although I think that's selling it a bit short, because it is its own thing, and a very unique style of wine, definitely worth seeking out. I mean, you can get great quality Franciacortas for a fraction of the price of a more middling champagne.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's something that people should keep an eye out for if they like
Absolutely.
their sparkling. Thank you very much. I think that's
Yeah.
it. I just wanted to talk about Vina Roma. I think it was what I had experienced there was really fun, and I thought it was a great concept. And I loved how you,
Well,
like
thank
you
you
said,
very
merging
much.
the tourists and the locals. I don't think many places you get that mix quite as well. So I thought that was
No, and
really good.
we push on that. I, of course, American, Italian parents. My colleague Frank is Canadian to Italian-born parents, so we have this advantage that both of us are native English speakers, and been here for a long, long time. So I love bringing that together. And yeah, next time you come out, though, we'll have to bring you down to the cellar. Sorry you
Yes,
missed it this time.
definitely. Yeah, but thank you very much, Maurizio, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well,
It
thank
was
you,
nice to
Ginny. It was a
chat.
pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe now to get each episode as they drop. You can also check out this podcast on YouTube and see pictures of the region and the people I've spoken to. Go to winedelust.com.au. That's winedelust.com.au for everything discussed today. You can also subscribe to my newsletter to hear all about my upcoming events and other news. Till next time, happy wine travels.